Who's your GPS? So as you can see from this picture, somebody clearly needed three GPSs. The American evangelist D.L. Moody is quoted as saying, "If God is your partner, make your plans big." Plans are something that we, each one of us, all have and make. It could be something small, like what we're going to eat for breakfast, or something bigger, like what are we going to do for the week, the year, or it could be something major, like what's are we going to do for jobs, our future. But do our plans always go the way we want them to? Don't you often wish that you knew exactly what that key was to having successful plans? Proverbs 16:3 has the guide for making our plans become successful. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 16:3, which is part of scripture reading that Ami did so well. And let me hear a hearty amen when you get there. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Commit. In our culture today, that tends to be a pretty big word. And it's one that oftentimes tends to make people get a little stressed out, whether it's applied to relationships, jobs, getting a pet, starting a family. You hear people oftentimes refer to somebody and say they have commitment issues. But what does this word actually mean? The Oxford Dictionary defines this word as a pledge or bind, or to be dedicated to something. We must be dedicated to giving our plans to God. But how? For a clearer description, we can look at the original text. The Hebrew word that is used in this verse is gal, which comes from the root galel, which, when you translate it, means to roll. So this verse is telling us that we must roll our plans onto the Lord. God knows what's best for each one of us. We just have to be dedicated to letting him be our guide. But to do that, all we need to do is commit to it. So after we commit to giving God our plans, what happens next? To answer that question, we need to look at the rest of Proverbs 16:3. It says, "And your thoughts will be established." Established. When you think of the word established, what comes to mind? You can think of something like, oh, our church was established in this year, or a business was established. Oftentimes you'll see on clothing t-shirts like Levi's, it'll say established in the year. But I actually asked our CRCP students what they thought of when they heard the word established. And they were coming up with a lot of answers. But one of our sixth graders actually came up with this following statement. He said, "I think of something with a strong foundation. It's firm. It won't be shaken. It won't be torn down or destroyed because of its connection to its foundation." In Hebrew, the word used here comes from the stem nephal. And the literal meaning, our CRCP student almost got word for word. The literal meaning is to stand firm, be stable, reestablished, or lasting. So when we think back to what the CRCP student said and insert our plans into his statement, we can see what the verse is saying. When he said that he thinks of something that is strong, we'll say our plans will be firm. They won't be shaken down. They won't be torn or destroyed because of their foundation, which is God. By trusting God with our plans, he will make them strong and lasting because we have made him our foundation. Now, I have to admit, my mom has not heard this sermon, and so I'm going to have to not look over there because she's going to start crying. But before I was born, God put the desire on my mom's heart to adopt a baby girl. So she spent the next 10 years looking for that baby. Now you think about it, 10 years, that's a decade. To put it into even closer terms that we'll all understand, that's the same amount of time that we were blessed with Pastor Sam and Carolina here. So during those 10 years, she was searching, searching. She'd have leads come up, and something would always happen, it wouldn't work out. And each time she was left disappointed. She knew God had given her this desire, so she submitted her plans to God and said, God, you know what's best. You'll work this out in your timing. When she finally got the call that her prayed for and long-awaited baby girl was born, she was so excited. This is the day I came home from the hospital. Watching me grow up, she wasn't quite sure why it hadn't worked out. But she had told God, you know the best child for me, and you know the best plan. So she just trusted him and was happy that she'd finally gotten her baby girl. It wasn't until I was around 10 years old that she started to really get why it had taken so long. You see, if she'd gotten a baby when she'd first started looking, then she would have been in her 20s, off at college, starting her own life, and wouldn't have been there when my mom needed her. Instead, I was there to be her second set of eyes, ears, and hands when she needed me to take care of my grandparents. By submitting her plans to God, God in turn made them beautiful in his time. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3:11, which gives us a simple yet powerful promise. Ecclesiastes 3:11 said, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. By not getting impatient, by not giving up, and saying, you know what, this is taking too long, I don't want to do this anymore. Instead of doing that, if my mom had done that, I can guarantee you that I would not be standing here today. I've learned that when God says he'll make everything beautiful in its time, that means somewhere along the way something had to have been ugly. There's no guarantee in this verse that everything's going to be smooth sailing. There's no guarantees that you're not going to have up and downs. There's no guarantee that you're not going to hit a pothole, a bump, have a blind S-curve. It just says that God will make it beautiful in his time. And I've learned that that means oftentimes that things are going to come up that you didn't plan for. I remember 2 years ago, sitting in my grandma's chair in the living room, looking at my legs, wondering if I was ever going to walk again. As somebody who was a runner, loved playing soccer, loved playing basketball, it had been hard enough to hear you can't run for 6 weeks, but at least I could still walk. But going to the uncertainty of not knowing if I was going to get to walk again was even harder. If I had gotten impatient, if I'd told my doctor, you know what, I know you're one of the best in your field, but I think I know better, and started doing my own thing, then I wouldn't have gotten to do something 2 weeks ago that I didn't think I was going to ever get to do again. But through 4 surgeries, this is what my leg now looks like. And because of the doctor and God both being there for me, I was able to do a 5K 2 weeks ago, along with some of the rest of the youth. Now, were those 2 years on crutches part of my plan? I can tell you they were absolutely not. But through it all, I knew a God that was there with me every step of the way, who knows me better than I know myself, and who somehow has this in his plan for me. And I may not see the whole picture yet, but I know that he's going to make it beautiful in his time. So one of my favorite Ellen White quotes is, "We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching and our past history." As long as we have committed to giving God our plans and remember how he's led us in the past, we don't have to worry about what's coming up ahead. So who's your GPS? We wouldn't go out on a trip without having a GPS. I mean, whether you use Apple Maps or Google Maps, you never leave home without a GPS in your pocket anymore. So just like we wouldn't go out on a trip without the GPS, we need to have God's positioning system in our plans so that we can reach our final and ultimate destination, which is heaven. Amen.
What a beautiful testimony. Thank you, Mimi, for sharing with us and encouraging us. And it's interesting because all of us have a story. And every story is so unique to its own that it's just incredible. So I want to look at myself right now. I want to see what or who is my priority in life. So before my Oregon mom passed away, something that I always looked forward to going back to Oregon is driving with her in a car. We went everywhere together, to the mall, to the grocery shopping, to visit people, everything that you can imagine. I always would drive with her. Now, you can tell that she doesn't like taking pictures of herself. She always would just, no. But on January 2, 2019, this year, the day before she passed away, I'm supposed to fly back to Southern California. And as I was getting packed, we got in the car, and I was telling her that Friday, I'm supposed to go snowboarding, but I don't have snowboarding pants. And so as we got in the car, she gave me two options. Okay, Ivan, you have options. Option number one, we can go to Walmart and get you some snacks and food for the road. And you are not going to go hungry. And option number two, we can go and get you snowboarding pants before your flight leaves. That was a tough decision to make, but I'll have to sacrifice option number one. And so we went to get snowboarding pants. What was interesting, it was out of our way, and it was a rush hour. So it's traffic. We still risked it. So we got to the store. We made a mess because we're trying to put different kinds of pants on. We found that one pair of pants, got in the car, and as I asked her, "So how do we get to Eugene Airport?" I got my phone out, and I went to GPS, and I plugged it in just to see which way is fastest because it's traffic. Maybe it'll give us some other route. So we went off the parking lot, and then we start driving. And so she's telling me, "Okay, turn left. Are you sure it's left? Because GPS is telling me to go right. What do I do?" And like, "Turn left." And so I followed the GPS. So I went to GPS. She's like, oh, no, you're going to be late. And then she realizes, oh, no. Oh, yeah, you can go through this way, too. And like, okay, good. Kept driving. Then she tells me, turn right. And I'm telling her, but GPS is telling me to go straight forward. What do I do? She says, turn right. I'm like, I'm just going to follow the GPS. I went straight forward. And she was like, oh, no, you're going to be so late. I was telling her, have faith. The GPS is telling me we're going to get there right on time. And then she was mind blown. Poof. Wow. I have never gone through this way to the airport before. It was a back road to the airport that she has never taken before. But she lived there her entire life. And the reason why she had never heard of that road before is because that was a brand new road. And she was so excited that when we got there to the airport, we got there early with actually extra time to spend. And she told me she's going to go and let everybody know at the house what happened. But the thing is, I need guidance. I needed a leader to get me to my destination. And usually when I go back home, I don't want to leave. I don't want to come back to where I'm supposed to be, school or work. Because you don't want to leave your loved ones, people that you love so much. But I have to go back because I have responsibilities, because I have a calling. And I want to bring a person named Moses. Moses was an interesting character because he was trying to talk God out of sending him to deliver the Israelites. He's like, God, don't send me. Who am I? I don't want to go there. Please don't. But it's interesting. God says, I will be with you. In fact, I will be your GPS. So God came up with GPS way, way before we came up with ours. Because this GPS, in fact, took me to some places I'm not supposed to go either. Like, that's not where I wanted to go. But God's GPS says, I will take you through it. So Exodus 13:21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of the cloud to lead the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. So God is our guide. He is pulling me into his own purpose. So am I willing to follow my feelings or my priorities? What we want to say is that we got to follow our priorities. Because when the Israelites were getting out of Egypt, they were so eager to go. Let's go, finally. I want to go to the land of milk and honey. I want to go to the place now. But the moment their feelings got to them, the thing of thirst or hunger or whatever they had, they were begging to go back to Egypt. So basically what they're saying, you know what? I don't want all of this. I don't want it because I want to go straight to where I want to be. And so they're telling God, I want to go back into traffic. Instead of listening to God says, just follow the cloud. I am there with you day and night. Don't you see me? And the moment the feelings got to them, they said, I want to go back. And you know, in Southern California, we don't know everything. But something that we do know is that when it comes to traffic, we know what it feels like to be stuck in the traffic. And so this week on Wednesday morning Bible study, we actually went through John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, we talked about Jesus as our good shepherd. And if Jesus is a good shepherd, then why am I going through this confusion in life? Why do I have to go through this valley if Jesus is my good shepherd. And so God says, you know what, it's hard for you to see it right now. But the moment I get you out of that confusion, the moment I get you out of the valley, then you'll be able to see that I am a good shepherd. It says, I put you in the wilderness for 40 years, but I am going to train you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to allow life to throw you back and forth to balance. But I will put you in situations where you will not feel certain. I send you the cloud as the guide. So we have a choice in life, constant choice, constant decisions of what we want to be on. Which road do we want to stay on? Is it going to be my way or is it going to be God's way? I want to take you to Acts chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. So God says, I'll be with you. So the very cloud, he goes into heaven and says, I will send you my Holy Spirit. So whatever uncertainty that you have, whatever you do in life, I am your GPS. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Wherever you would go, God would be in your midst. In every wilderness of our situation, there is a cloud. The Lord is our shepherd, and he is not just a shepherd, but he is a good shepherd. Someone who is worthy of our time. Someone who is worthy of our praise. Someone who is worthy to get up in the morning and spend time with. He cares for you. He loves you. He will continue to remind us of it until the very last breath on this earth. And when our time on earth is done, we go into a quick nap. And then we'll see that cloud once again. When Jesus will come down and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Now you are mine forever. We have nothing to be afraid of. Except if we have forgotten on how God has led us in the past. Amen.
Good morning. The offering for today will be going to conference-wide church and school building funds. Let us all be solid, faithful stewards. This Sabbath, as we give for our local conferences needs, let's get excited about our fine conference-wide ministries, such as church building programs, camp meetings, summer camps, and many other worthy invitators. Something like that.
May the deacons come forward. Yes. Okay, let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the Sabbath day. Thank you for being a good shepherd and following us through life. And right now, as we receive this offering, God, we're thankful for giving to us so that we can give you back. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Happy Sabbath again. Our announcements for today are going to be on the screen. We would like to thank you all again for coming to Youth Sabbath.